Hello, hello again, and welcome to the YouTube Tea Break Podcast. We are dedicated to growing your YouTube channel and brand organically. Look, if you want to look really good on camera for you and your guest and also have the best quality, then Riverside FM is the best thing you can possibly do. So look at the links below and you get a little discount code in there as well for when you do sign up. So check the show notes and you'll get the best possible deal you can there. Let's talk about who's going to host your channel. Now, this one came up a week and a few days ago. I did a talk to a series of businesses, and they are, for want of a better word, they're really worried about YouTube. They know that there's something they need to do. I sort of hear this all the time. They know they need to do air quotes YouTube, but they are really struggling to get enthusiasm for the platform because they're so scared that the person on camera is going to be vilified, because that's all YouTube is, right? It's a nasty place. Yeah, it can be a nasty place, but it's not all about that. Anyway, I'll get onto that later. But they are worried that they are going to, if there's any problems with the product or service, they are going to be hounded by the general public. And you know what? I laugh. But quite frankly, it is a problem, you know, because what's really interesting, if you have a YouTube channel and if it does really well, or even if it's not doing very well, you are looked at. The person in front of the camera is looked at. And I made a few notes on this. So these are the sort of, I sound record my talks just so I can look back and make a few sort of tweaks to my talks and things like this. So I listened back and these are a few things which I said to the people. And there's about, 16 or 17 businesses in the room. I'm not quite certain because there's a couple of businesses which were slightly larger, so they've got different areas, so forgive me, I'm not exactly right. It could be 15 to 17 businesses from what I was informed anyway. So in terms of what it is that I think is really important, I remember doing corporate videos, I've done for years as well as the YouTube stuff, when somebody says to me they're media trained, I used to think, oh, that's brilliant, yeah, that's great. No, it's not. It means that they are terrible in front of camera. They know it and they are trying to get better. All credit to them, but they are not good. So if somebody would say to me, oh yes, they're really good on camera because they're media trained, I get concerned about that. It tends to be, for me, in my experience, I've seen that I can walk into a company and it could be company with 500 employees in it, could be a company with 2 employees in it, and I'll be able to work out who should be on camera after a couple of hours, you know, but it's about whether they want to do it or not. But I will know the personality who should be on camera quite quickly, because that's just my experience. That's not me bragging, that's just experience. It would be, imagine anybody, any other YouTuber, any other YouTube analyst or consultant, they would probably find the same thing quite quickly. So that's not just a me thing, that's just a generic thing. We could find out who's good and who isn't. But it is really important that you have somebody who is going to front your channel and can be a spokesperson, if you will, for your brand, for your channel. And you don't have to just have one. You can have a couple. I'd always keep it down to, especially YouTube. YouTube, as we've spoken about many times, loves consistency. And having somebody who obviously knows what they're talking about, really important. Even if they don't, they can memorize the script. That's quite good. I've worked with a lot of people like that. They can memorize the script, or they have an auto cue in place, which is an organic script. That's really important, because otherwise people can just tell that there is an auto cue in place. The audience is quite savvy. The audience in general, we aren't looking at a TV and video industry is a very mature industry. So, and even the people who are outside looking in to videos, they can see if there's anything fake going on there. And so it is down to the YouTube analysts and the content creators to make sure that it looks as organic as possible on camera. So having somebody really good really makes a difference. I remember I said to I was blessed enough to work with some really good presenters in my past, and there's a couple who I really miss, and there was who, and they were just amazing in front of camera, and a couple of others who were awful in front of camera, but they were always going to be awful compared to the people who I did work before. And you know, I did train these people up a little bit to be better. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And it's also about the confidence the director or the cameraman or whoever's behind the camera can give these people. And that really makes a huge difference. And as always, why do we need to make a really good spokesperson for your channel? Well, it's like I said in this talk, they've got to carry a message, a continuous message, like your company would do anyway. You have to pass on a key message indicator for your company. There has to be a key message every single video. You have to engage the viewers. So you have to be approachable. You have to be understanding. You have to be sympathetic to a situation. You have to have relatability, and the last thing is you have to build, and being in front of camera, you will build a loyal following as a person. There's a lot of people at the moment, big companies, I'm talking the Apples and the Googles and, you know, people like that, and people are really looking at their personal brand. They're working on their personal brand. Why are they doing that? It's because they can potentially have it's a very popular term at the moment, a side hustle, quote unquote side hustle, or they know if they build a personal brand and they were to potentially leave Apple and go to, I don't know, Nvidia or somewhere, a graphics company, we will follow them. And just because they left Apple, you might get a few people who drop off, but because you like them and you like their journey, you will follow them. You see? So that loyalty becomes inherent in the personality, not the brand. You might love the brand. A lot of us love Apple, a lot of us love Microsoft, Google, but people who are working there, if you start to understand people working there and you like the people, you will carry on that loyalty to wherever they go. And that would really help, you know, that really helps them to do that. Again, being natural in front of camera really does lead to loyalty. Showing fragility and showing your concerns, showing any foibles you've got, anything like that really adds to, and it's not, and I was saying this, it's not like a charismatic thing. It's a relatability thing. You know, you can really relate to people who stumble over the words, get a few facts wrong. You know, I mean, look at probably a poor idea this, but the presidents of the United States, the last two we've had, they're getting everything wrong. But like certainly with like Donald Trump and things like this, they love him because he's sort of relatable, or even though he's not, he gives that air of relatability. So, and he's got a huge following, again, personal brand coming into it. But then there's the other side, because we said, well, what if we don't have, there's only three of us, this one chap said, oh, there's only three of us, and none of us want to be on camera, really. I said, fine, okay, well, what you could do, rather than just be lonely one person on camera all the time, they don't want that responsibility. You could either get all three of you on camera at the same time, or you could get a spokesperson in. And obviously, a spokesperson would cost more, but they like that idea more, but they have to understand it a little bit more. So you almost have to hire a presenter to do it. They don't have to be, it doesn't have to be big bucks. Could be somebody just coming in, as long as they understand what it is you're doing, and I mean, there was somebody who else said, oh, actually, my daughter does it. because she's quite good on camera. So that's brilliant, you know, as long as she's going to be there for a while to work out that channel for you, she will help you build up your channel, and she might work on her personal brand as well and everything else like that. So, but there might be a time where she goes, so you have to work out, maybe it's not as bad or as difficult as you think it is. Because I know, because I'm in front of camera quite a lot, even though I'm not for this podcast, but that will soon change, by the way, that it is quite tough to be on camera. I don't find it that difficult, but it's only because now I'm used to it, that it's not really a problem for me anymore. I just got to make sure that I look half decent, and I never look decent. Anybody knows me knows I don't look decent, ever. Sorry, that was my email. I keep forgetting to turn that off. Let me turn that off. Quit. Okay, hopefully that won't come through now, but there's a habit of coming through even if it's closed. Anyway, so the other thing, again, if you haven't got anything good there, you in terms of what you could do, a faceless channel. Faceless channels can be as popular. It takes a little while to get like a loyal audience, because you are faceless, and the faceless AI channels are the ones that I would be very surprised if they ever got huge amounts of subscribers, if that is their aim, just because there's nothing to be loyal there about. The ideas are probably AI generated, the scripts probably AI generated, the visuals are probably stock or AI generated. There's nothing inherently human there. So the AI question came up, and I'm interested to see what would happen with the whole AI space, but I don't think it's going to lead to a huge loyalty towards your brand or your personal brand, whatever that may be. But you can do it take AI out of the equation here. You can do a personal brand where you can film the bits and pieces you need to film, and then you can basically do a voiceover explaining what it is you're doing. They can be very popular, but again, it's all about the story you are weaving in. It'll be difficult in some ways to do that, to keep that going, but it is entirely possible. It's all about, as we've always said, it's about your content quality and variety within that. You've got to make the viewer have a good experience, and you need them to understand the value you are producing. Obviously, again, that diverse content, and try and focus on creating interesting and engaging videos so that they can really cater to the needs of your target audience. Again, it's all about target audience. The one thing I would say, if you start off a faceless YouTube channel and you carry on with that, nobody will care. That's a really good thing. If you start with a fully faced channel, then you've got a good following, and then you go to faceless, people will be like, what's going on? Why aren't you there? Are you well? Are you ill? It's best to, again, consistency. Having consistency. So if you're either faceless to start off with, I mean, there are a lot of channels which are curated channels which are human voiced, and they are stock driven, documentary style channels, and they are doing brilliantly. So it can definitely be done. Again, it's about the content. The other thing as well, going back just briefly, there was a group in there who was a knitting group or smocking, or I can't remember who it was. And there was 8 of them in there. And they said, oh, we want to do something, but we're a bit nervous about who goes on camera. And again, I said, why don't you do individual little videos saying what you're doing this week? Like, make it into a weekly YouTube. So you'd literally send one person who is happy to edit your little clips on your iPhone saying what it is you're doing. And then it could be faceless. It could be, it's a lot more manageable knowing that you don't have all the responsibility. So I said to them, set out a plan of like, if you did do that model, I'm not saying you should, but if you did do that model, say that, right, you do 10 clips with your phone in a half decently lit room, and film it on your phone. You'll get somebody to film on your phone, literally doing what you're doing, and then just say on camera, doesn't have to be too like filming your face. You can say, right, I've just been doing this week and it's been going really well. And then the editor, you rely more on the editor at this point. The editor then gets all these 10 clips you've got plus the other 8 people. Suddenly that's 80 clips. I was like, whoa, that's a video. So you could combine with each other to make something more compelling. And if you did, if it was a weekly, like, oh, I'm currently doing a quilt or something, then that will take you weeks to make, probably. So just keep filming stage by stage, and then it will suddenly turn into a larger video. You might all go down the route of doing one of a quilt that they're all doing, and at the end you have a little thing saying you show the quilt, and so that there are ways of doing it. It doesn't always have to be on one person. It's a lot easier, but sometimes, you know, if you're nervous about it, there's what's the expression, happy in numbers or whatever. I can't remember what it is, but something along those lines. But ultimately, the success of your YouTube channel or brand depends on various factors, and it's always about the content quality. That I can't emphasize that enough. Content quality is the key, because content quality will beat consistency. It will beat audience engagement, marketing efforts, all that other stuff. That's all important as well. Don't get me wrong. But content quality is the king. Then look at consistency and audience engagement. And then everything else will fall into place. And then you sort of look into the YouTube SEO and all that stuff. And actually, YouTube's very good at telling you what you need to be doing next. You know, there are tools within YouTube that says to you, actually, in this, if you type in, I don't know, smocking or whatever that is, it will say what it will. Crochet, I think, is the thing. If you look at, you can probably tell I'm not used to this world, but this is what I love about YouTube, because it just brings all these things. I'm learning so much stuff as well. It's fascinating. Anyway, they can then come in and it will say to you, smocking a child's gown or whatever. I don't know if that's the right terminology, but if that technique is used for that, but whatever. But that can suddenly be used as your next template of, oh, actually, YouTube's telling me what to make. Brilliant. Go for it. So it's not difficult to do this stuff. It's about how you make it work for you. But that's it for this episode. As always, please give us a 5-star rating and review. It really helps us out. Just a few words the podcast areas, whatever podcast platform you're looking at, please just write a few notes, because a few words, it really does help us out hugely. It doesn't take much time at all for you, but it really means the world to us here. So please undo that. And then again, thank you to riverside.fm for helping us out with this podcast. But in the meantime, look through our back catalogue. We've got lots, so many things which are really useful for the YouTube space. And we'll see you next week.